Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is the Prison Minister. My name is Pastor Scott Warnick. Been doing this now for almost a year. I enjoy doing this. I think I'd probably freeze up at a congregation. Yes, I would. But I was reading scripture today, and I came across, I was reading Psalm 138, and I was reading from the New King James Version, and I came across this from 138, verse 3. And the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. You know, my prayer needs to begin with this. Lord, help us to see anything we dread as a challenge that we can rise above. Because you enable us. You have brought us out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke our chains of bondage. You have delivered us from darkness and brought us into your kingdom and your love. Because you are our salvation, we don't have to be afraid. We can call to you and you will save us. Set us free from all negative emotions that have become a habit. Give us a garment of praise to take away the spirit of heaviness. In your presence we find fullness of joy. Amen. Before I begin, my announcement is, if the Holy Spirit does bless you in your heart to give to this ministry so we can continue going out to the world as he told us to go out among the nations. Of course, I don't leave the state of Texas very much unless requested. But also to keep this radio show going. If you can send your donations to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church, P.O. Box 748, Crowley, Texas, 76036, in the memo, and on the front of the letter, put attention, Pastor Scott Wernick. You can make your checks or money orders out to HFCC for tax purposes. You know, it's kind of funny how we look at what God wants us to see and his caring love for us. So I want to continue with Satan's work in our world. Now, some of my readings come from the NIV and some from the New King James. This, I'm going to start with the NIV, which is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Amen to that. Now that we have seen that Satan is a real being with real powers, we need to understand how he uses his powers. We should also understand his intentions and overall goal. We saw in the previous chapter that Satan led other angels astray in a misguided attempt to overthrow God's authority. His vanity, pride, and lust for power led him into war against the ruler of the universe. Failing at that, Satan spitefully tried to thwart and disrupt God's dealings with the human race, doing whatever he could to bring harm, and his evil work has been incessant. You see, Satan's primary goal is this, and as the devil wasted in time before interfering, as we saw earlier and read earlier to you, Genesis 3 describes Satan's appearance on the scene shortly after God created Adam and Eve. The first thing Satan tried to do was to destroy God's relationship with the first human beings. He subtly asked Eve, "Has God indeed said," and this was verse 1 of chapter 3, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Do y'all remember that verse I read to you last Thursday? He cleverly avoided mentioning all that God had given to her and Adam, every other plant, tree, and kind of fruit in the garden. Instead, he succeeded in getting her to concentrate on the fruit of the one tree from which God had forbidden them to eat. He slyly began to deceive Eve. He introduced the first lie, telling her she would not die if she took of the forbidden fruit. That's from verse 4. Verse 5 continues by him saying he followed with another falsehood, slandering God by accusing him of holding Eve back by withholding valuable knowledge from her. She was seduced by his persuasiveness. She took of the fruit, and then she shared it with Adam. Eve was deceived by Satan's craftiness. 2 Corinthians 11:3 talks of this. 1 Timothy 2:14 talks of Adam wasn't deceived. He simply followed along and joined his wife in disobeying God's clear instructions. We see that pressure from others to go along, even when we know, of course, of action. Action is wrong. And has been with us for a long time. This account helps us see that Satan's primary goal is to thwart God's plan to build a family relationship with mankind. From the beginning, God has had a magnificent plan for human beings to extend to us his gift of eternal life. One of the Bible's most familiar passages makes this plain. John 3:16 quotes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." See? He tells us that we believe in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. How plain is that? So God's goal is to vastly expand his family. Right now, that eternal family consists of two divine beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. Luke 10:22 will tell you all about God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. But God's goal for humanity, eternal life in his family, is the central focus of the entire creation. The NASB, which I read a lot, Romans 8:19, tells us, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." Sons of God, brothers and sisters, plural here. That's me and you. This close family relationship is God's fervent desire for humanity, which Paul calls Jesus in Romans 8:29, the firstborn among many brethren. As the firstborn son of God, he is the first of many children of God to be ultimately born in God's family. Hebrews 2:11 in the NIV quotes, "And Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers." You see, God promises us that he who overcomes, Revelation 21:7, shall inherit all things. "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." 2 Corinthians 6:18 goes on to tell us, "I will be a father to you," he says, "and you shall be my sons and daughters." See, he does talk about us. God wants to give us immortality so we can live with him forever. He wants to begin a close family relationship with us. Now, John 14:23 will go on to state, and talks about this and the relationship to be in a close family. But Satan, however, wants to thwart God's plan in any way he can. He wants to prevent us developing a close relationship with God. He wants to keep us from attaining our destiny as the very sons of God. You see, this is Satan's great deception. As we noted, Satan is a powerful, intelligent being who will stop at nothing to carry out his ends. As the master manipulation of mankind, he has many methods and tools at his disposal. In a sense, his immediate goal, keeping mankind separate from God, is relatively easy. As human beings, we are inclined to focus on our needs and wants. And Satan has reinforced that to the point that selfishness is the primary motivator in human behavior. As Paul puts it in Romans 8:5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds on what that nature desires. Now, those whose minds are focused on themselves are, whether they would realize it or not, hostile to God. And that's going to be verse 7 of chapter 8. Now, we can be quoting from several Psalms, which Paul summarizes the spiritual condition of most of humanity. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, of the newly revised Standard Version. And that's a big, thick Bible, by the way. That was hard to find, but I found it, found a copy. He quotes on and says, "There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Interesting how Paul sums that up. But as a master of persuasion, Satan easily deceives mankind into focusing on anything but God. Through the theory of evolution, for example, he has convinced millions that God doesn't exist. Through hundreds of corrupt religions, he has over the ages convinced billions of people to worship the sun, the moon, and stars, animals, nature, deceased ancestors, imaginary gods and goddesses, and a bewildering variety of other things, or nothing at all. Even among the many varieties in traditional Christianity, we find people divided and bickering over who and what God is, over this, his purpose for us, and over how he wants us to worship him and how we should live. The devil has done an effective job of confusing people as to what the Bible really says. That's why I tell people, don't read between the lines. That's where Satan lives, between the lines. And he confuses us. This is his job, because Satan doesn't care which of these groups of people fall into. Whether they believe in no God at all, accept and worship a false God, or are deceived into a false view of the true God and his plan for us, Satan still has them where he wants them. Ephesians 4:18, and I quote, "Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Perhaps this helps us better understand what God means when he tells us that the devil, according to Revelation 12:9, deceives the whole world. Paul explains that the God of this age, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, has blinded those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. In one of his parables, Jesus explains that as soon as some people hear God's truth, then the parable is in Luke 8, verse 12, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, Satan will stop at nothing to keep people blinded to the fullness of God's truth. The result, as Jesus explained in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, is that, and I quote, "The gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. And the gate is narrow, and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Makes you think, are we ever going to find that road? Well, trust me, I've found it, I've lost it, I found it again. It's really not hard to find. You just have to believe in God and his Son. Because causes of humanity's problems are, when we understand the magnitude of Satan's deception, we can better grasp the roots of so many of humanity's problems. Collectively, we have had thousands of years to experiment with governments, philosophies, and ways of living. So why have we been unable to solve our problems? I think of that daily. Why do so many difficulties persist year after year, century after century? Human governments and other efforts have not succeeded because, in the final analysis, we simply do not know the right way to live. Now, here's a funny thought. Solomon, king of ancient Israel, put it bluntly when he said in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends, but its end is the way of death." Now, through the prophet Jeremiah, God tells us that in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Now, regrettably, mankind has provoked the truth of those words for generations. Under human rule, influenced by Satan's attitude of getting all we can for ourselves, the world has never seen a time free of turmoil, war, and suffering. We see this every day. We hear it on the world news. And now it's at our shores. It's in our borders. The Bible tells us it's true. And this is what's happening. Because the world suffers from chronic overwhelming problems because we have rejected, who do you think? God. Under God's inspiration, Solomon's father, King David, wrote in Psalm 14, 2, or verse 2 through verse 3, "The Lord looks down from heaven and upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God, who have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one." Now, let's look at Jeremiah, because he also noted that people are largely blinded by the deceit of their own evil motives and intents. Jeremiah 17:9 of the NIV quotes, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?"
Born again to win, oh, I got the good news, yeah. I'm born again to win. Born again to win. Born once to lose. Walking, talking bad news, oh, but now I got good news, yeah, I'm born again to win, born again to win, born once to lose, everything I did hit the skids, oh, but now I got the good news, yeah. Jesus died in my stead. Jesus died in my stead. Now I'm born again to win. Born from above by His love. Oh, I got the good news, yeah. I'm walking in my Father's love. Walking in my Father's love. Born once to lose. Everything I had turned bad, oh. But now I got the good news, yeah. I'm making the heart of my Father glad. Making the heart of my Father glad. Cause I'm born again to win. Born from above by His love. Oh, I got the good news, yeah. born again to win. Walking in my Father's love, born again to win.
You know, it's funny. I believe we're all born again to win. I really do. Because I'm going to show you how man is separated from God. And I'm going to show you in the book of Isaiah. Because the prophet Isaiah adds in Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 8, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace." You see, God's ways are vastly different from man's. He tells us, continuing with Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, Satan has effectively deceived the world throughout history by influencing human beings to cut themselves off from God's guidance. He has led us into wanting to do things our own way, to rely on ourselves rather than God as the ultimate authority. You see, Paul describes the results of rejecting God. He does this in Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. I'll quote this now. "Since they did not think worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them." Paul's words ring as true in our day as ever before. Our news and entertainment media praise and condone degenerate, sinful lifestyles and practices while condemning people who support biblical standards as narrow-minded bigots. I used to be called the Bible thumper because I carried a Bible. I thought that was funny. So I use it all the time, even today. I see somebody carrying a Bible. "You're a Bible thumper, huh?" You know, and they look at me funny. But when I explain, you know, what Paul said in Romans 1, 28 through 32, they kind of crack a smile after that. Pretty interesting. But I'll tell you what, such twisted values are the inevitable result of a mindset that rejects the knowledge of the commandments of God. This is not God's world, although God is always in ultimate control. The scriptures make it clear that he is not the reason for the world's many chronic problems. As Jesus Christ said in John 18:36, My kingdom is not of this world. God is not behind the misery that plagues our planet. Satan is the devil, is the true ruler of this world. And we can read this in John 12:31, 14:30, and 16:11. Because John tells us that in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Again, Satan is the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4 also quotes that. Moreover, Satan's demonic cohorts also exercise control of this world, even at times powerfully influencing human governments. Now, in the book of Daniel, the righteous angel Gabriel tells Daniel that he had just been fighting with the help of the archangel Michael against the powerful spirit personality referred to as the Prince of Persia. And that's in Daniel 10:13 and verse 20. And that he would soon have to fight another he called the Prince of Greece. Now, of course, these are but subordinates under the devil. In an attempt to lead Jesus astray, in Matthew 4:8-9, Satan offered this: all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, as they were truly under his dominion. Now, you can compare that with Luke 4:5-7. Although we cannot see Satan, you must understand his influence is powerful and pervasive. Paul understood this, reminding Christians that in Ephesians 2:2, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The result of the devil's influence is that before conversion, our focus is on, in verse 3 I'll continue, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. But you have to notice again that Paul calls Satan the prince of the power of the air, as the spirit working in disobedient humanity. Now, what does this mean? Evidently, Satan is responsible for a spiritual broadcast of sorts to which human minds are attuned. Just as the air around us is saturated with TV and radio signals that can be, well, I wouldn't say the air around us anymore. Let's just look at it this way. The fiber optics, the cable TV, you know, because everything now is digital. But radio signals still travel the airwaves that can be tuned in with electronic receivers. So it is also saturated with Satan's spiritual broadcast of selfish and rebellious moods and attitudes to which our minds are receptive. So the devil thereby spiritually influences humanity to reject God and God's law. Under this influence, in Romans 8:7 of the Holman Christian Standard Bible, we read, "The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so." Now, separated from God, man chooses to go his own way, with devastating results. Under Satan's influence, humanity has rejected God's revelation and guidance and built societies and civilizations on wrong foundations. But it will not be that way forever.
Who lives in me,
You know, as I read these teachings to you, I call them, we can call them sermons if you wish, it makes me think how God's light will always lead us right back to the path. No matter how long the detour has been, return is only a shortcut away. Lord, when the Israelites heard your voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of their tribes and their elders came forward. Please help us to hear your voice out of our darkness and come to you, Lord. Lord, your servant Job felt he was in the land of deepest night, of deep shadow and disorder, where even the light is like darkness. You restored someone who knew a much bleaker darkness than ours. You will restore us too, if we will let you. You are our lamp. You, the Lord, turn our darkness into light. You, Lord, keep our lamp burning. Our God turns our darkness into light. Amen. I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. And Thursday I will talk about the fall of Satan's kingdom. If you want to catch to the fall of Satan's kingdom, look at Revelations 12:12, Galatians 1:4, Matthew 6:10, and Luke 21:31. And Mark 1:14-15. Read those verses and think how the fall of Satan's kingdom will take place. Believe me, your answer will come before I even give it to you. I enjoyed speaking with you. I want you to have a good, blessed night. Right now, we are beginning to hunker down for some serious weather. And wherever you are at, we hope it stays sunny and nice. And God will always watch you. I was always told when I was a kid growing up, keep the sun in your face and always smile. It's God that's got his hands on you. His light is always shining on you. No matter how bleak or how much you feel that you're in darkness. Be blessed. I am blessed. I bless you. If you were here, I would ask you to come forward. And I would give you a blessing. As told to us in the book of James. And in the book of Acts, 2nd chapter, verse 38. For we are to bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I give you this blessing. Thank you. Good night.